Well, it is good to have all of you with us this evening and this time of year as we just pause for just these few moments here together tonight and just really focus in on what's most important, what the true reason of this season is. Just a quick clarification, I just want to make sure you know that these are not the candles you're going to take home, all right? I know you wanted this one, didn't you? But we actually, we'll trade out with you. If you guys give these back, we've got some really nice ones that some folks here put together for you that are scented and you can take home and put up in your house and just as a Merry Christmas from us. How many, when you're watching a movie, how many people like movies here? Anybody? A few people, hopefully. How many have got all your Christmas movies in? Anybody? No, but come on, this is participation. A few people. Does anybody go to Christmas on, or I mean, sorry, go to a movie on the evening of Christmas? Anybody do that here? I know some people do that. What, there's something about movies when we watch them, and I don't know if you've noticed this, and maybe, you know, I don't want to talk about scary movies here tonight, but anybody notice, like, you know, if it gets, something gets scary or you're in a movie and something happens to the sound, you know, you can mute it and it just changes the whole thing, doesn't it? There's something about the music when it's played along with it. And Hollywood, of course, knows that, and that's why there's men and women that make a lot of money, you know, writing a musical score for a movie. But music, it does change everything, and, you know, in this season, as we came here tonight, if you came here and we did not sing Christmas carols, you probably would have a little bit of a raised eyebrow, wouldn't you? You came here with an expectation because that's the kind of the sounds of the season. That's the music that we're used to. We love to sing those words, those lyrics, and it expresses this story that we know, this account of Jesus when he came to earth. But I think, and maybe some of you have caught this, maybe you've thought this, especially the ones that like to kind of just think about these types of things. But, you know, sometimes we, if we're not careful, we can kind of, for lack of better terms, sanitize the Christmas story a little bit. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, we just sing this song, Away in a Manger, which I love, and again, I'm not the Grinch here tonight. I just, you know, this is something that strikes me, and I think you'll all kind of understand where we're going here. But, you know, we in a way, in a manger, we sing this line, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, what? How many have had babies? That's a tough one, right? I mean, but we can have this picture of Jesus. You know, yes, he was perfect, but I'm pretty sure, and there's nothing wrong with a baby crying. It's how they communicate, right? Like, I'm hungry, I need to, you know, I need a diaper change, whatever that is. So I don't think that that's probably the case, you know. But we put these lyrics in songs. Why? Because it creates this perfect scene, doesn't it? You know, we see the, you know, during this season too, we'll see different maybe depictions of the manger. And maybe, I don't know if you've participated in a live, one of those live scenes, those live nativities, or maybe driven by one. And, you know, typically if you drive by or if you visit, you know, they've got the music real soft in the background and there's Mary and Joseph, you know, or somebody playing that part and they're smiling. And, you know, the baby, maybe there's a real baby or maybe it's just, you know, a doll or something. But, you know, and if the baby cries or something, they've got a quick change, you know, they can change them out because there's this image that it was just this peaceful, great moment. And while it was a great moment when Jesus entered the earth, I think there's some realities. And tonight, I just want to talk about some of this because I think it's great to sing these songs. And I love these songs. And I, you know, again, as all of us have been raised this time of year, we sing these songs and they're wonderful. But the big idea this evening, just these few moments as I share with you is that, you know, Christmas carols often give us a melody without the misery or harmony without the hardship. But the real story of Jesus' birth is one of costly obedience, resolute faith, and a hope that's forged really through difficult times. Because Joseph and Mary, if you know the story, you know, they were young. We talked about this on Sunday. You know, Mary was probably around 16 years old. And very pregnant, and was not able to, you know, climb into, you know, the Cadillac Escalade, you know, with real luxurious seating and just kind of sit back and be comfortable. She was riding on a donkey, probably, or walking. And you ladies here that have you know, walked through that pregnancy process, you know, probably 7 months, 8 months, or even 9 months, you're lucky to have a smile on your face a lot of the time, right? Amen. Yeah. Thank you, sir. I was wondering who we're talking to. But that's the truth, right? It's hard. Pregnancy's hard. And here Mary and Joseph had the journey. And so we're just going to explore some of these things this evening. And again, what I think it will do, it's like, oh, great, Pastor Dell's just going to squash all the wonderful songs of Christ. No, I'm not. I think what's going to happen at the end of this, or the outcome of this that I think we'll see, is that we are going to have a much greater appreciation when we sing those songs of what it took place. And so, you know, we'll begin with this spot, or this is kind of where we'll just start, is that, you know, we sing about peace, we sing peace, but really Joseph and Mary, they lived really in extremely troubling times. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and if you'd like to turn there's Bibles in the seats in front of you, but if not, that's fine, you can just listen. But it's a very familiar account. Luke chapter 2 is typically what we read at Christmas time. And so let's ease into that. And so beginning in verse 1, it says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant." And so we see here, as we kind of begin this, walking through this passage, we see Mary and Joseph and kind of the light on them at this point. And in that, I want us to see this, and that's that their obedience really is what was kind of upending everything in their world. They were stepping out and following what, you know, the angel of the Lord had told them to do. And so we'll see these things like all is calm and all is bright, but for them, really nothing was calm. Mary faced scandal and misunderstanding. I mean, again, she was 16, she was not married yet, and here she was pregnant, right? And while Joseph and Mary knew this story, many people looking at her probably, you know, looked at her with judgment. You know, they would smile to her face, but when she turned away, they'd be talking about her. Joseph, you know, he was wrestling probably with, you know, confusion, just trying to get this all, his head wrapped around this. You know, this angel showed up to him as well, telling, "Oh yeah, your fiance is going to give birth to the Savior of the world," and so he's trying to, you know, come to terms with that, as well as being socially shamed, you know, in his position. So Mary and Joseph were in a very difficult season, but what was amazing is that their obedience to God, it was impeccable, because they were stepping out knowing what kind of was going to come as a result of it. Right? Yes, they were going to give birth to Jesus, the Messiah, but they had to persevere through all these other things. I mean, the travel, through all the comments people had, you know, imagine family members, you know, especially in this culture. So it was very challenging. And this government census that they had to participate in, it forced this dangerous journey late in Mary's pregnancy, and so it was very challenging. I mean, as many of you know, when you get to a certain part of the pregnancy, you're not even really allowed to fly unless it's like an emergency. They didn't want you getting on an airplane. And here's Mary making this long, dangerous journey. And so I want us just to, you know, think this tonight, but also this season, that our songs, if we're not careful, they skip the anxiety or the difficulties, and they rush straight to the angels singing, don't they? And so, thinking through this, or kind of having this scene in our mind, I want us just to really grasp this, is that God's peace, it does not mean the absence of disruption. It means that his presence is in the middle of it. And for a lot of us today, you know, we could say that, you know, the world we face, there's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of us here today, and I look across this room, and I see a lot of faces that I don't see all the time, so I don't know you personally, but it's pretty safe in a group this size that there are some struggles represented in this room, that we are facing some challenges in our lives, or, you know, even in this holiday season, while there's joy and there's happiness, but a lot of us, there's some struggles going on at the same time. And so the beauty of this is that we don't need to minimize our disruption or our struggle to believe that God is at work in it. You see, faith, the reality of it, faith often sounds less like a lullaby and more like a trembling yes at times, doesn't it? And let that be an encouragement to us this evening, that as we even as we go through this season, and you know, today's a wonderful day, and probably you're going to be spending time with friends or family tonight and tomorrow and maybe even this week. But then all of us, I mean, a lot of us, like Monday eventually comes, right? Or maybe you're off for a bit and maybe you get to the, after the first of the year, but then you got to go back to work and you go back to the grind and you have to kind of engage with some of these things. But know that, again, we're not called to minimize our uncertainty, but instead we trust God as we walk these things out. Secondly, as we read through Luke a little further, we're going to see that we sing glory, but we see here in Mary and Joseph that they're walking through fear. And so Luke chapter 2, going on a little further here in verse 6, it says, "While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." Then it says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger.'" You see, we see here again the birth of Jesus. And really that we see also in that same image that it's hope being born in vulnerability. We sing, "O come, let us adore him." But the birth itself was anything but really adorable. It wasn't really adorable by human standards because they're in this stinky manger. I don't think any of us have probably experienced that, or you know, when we've given, you know, seen our children come into the world or whatever, you know, it's you think about how sanitized and clean a hospital is. And here, the Savior of the world, Jesus, is coming into the earth, not in prestige, not in this beautiful, you know, warm and comfortable place, but in a manger, in a feeding trough. And even still, you know, we oftentimes build, you know, or we see these manger scenes, you know, and it's a little stale, and there's hay and things like that, but, you know, you do a little deeper study, and most likely, a lot of people believe it was probably more like a cave that Jesus was born in. You see, our carols, they give us the choirs, but Scripture gives us the crying, the side of it that maybe isn't so glamorous. But listen, God chose to reveal his glory not through power or prestige, but through humility and weakness. That's how Jesus entered the world. And so for us this evening, I think it's a reminder for us not to dismiss the small, humble, or even hidden beginnings when God is at work and God is doing things. Maybe in your life or in someone's life around you. You see, God often works the most powerfully through what appears weak or insignificant. Again, we spoke about this on Sunday morning here. We talked about, you know, God's kingdom being the upside-down kingdom. That's what God does. You know, it says in the Scripture that, you know, it's through our weakness that he is made strong. And so we see this all just played out in front of us. Lastly, we sing joy, but we see Mary and Joseph really living under a very direct threat. In Matthew 2, verses 13 through 18, it reads that after they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And this is after the three wise men had come and left. It says, "Appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to kill him.' And so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' So we see here again that, you know, Jesus here, he's being born into a very dangerous time. They can't even just stay where they are. They actually have to move. And because there's this decree set out to kill all the young children, and that's like, that's crazy, right? Yet here they are, this young couple, having given birth to Jesus, the Messiah. And, you know, sometimes I stop and I think, and I'm wondering, like, you know, in one sense, God, you know, he could have just hidden them, if you will, or he could have protected them where they were, but instead he chose to send them because there was also a lot of fulfillment of prophecies that were taking place. But we see that it was a dangerous world. You know, and we sing Joy to the World, but really the world when Jesus entered that he was walking straight into was very hostile. You know, there were literally, there was a king that was seeking to end his life. And so Mary and Joseph were fleeing. A lot of times we can sing, you know, we'll sing for joy after the danger is gone. But Mary and Joseph, they were living it before the danger was resolved. And so we see, again, this scene where, you know, Mary and Joseph were stepping out by faith, this young couple. A lot of questions, but trusting the Lord. Really in a very dangerous world. You know, a lot of even the traveling was dangerous. There's just so much facing, so much opposition, but yet they walked out their obedience. And so tonight, let us be reminded of this, that biblical joy is not naive optimism brought about in safety. It is a stubborn hope anchored in God's promises amid uncertainty. And let that be an encouragement for us this evening. That God is with us. It's God is, his name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isn't that a beautiful thing to grab hold of today? In this season, as we walk this out, and you know, maybe things are going really well for you right now. God is with you. Maybe tonight things aren't going that well. Maybe you were drugged here by a relative. Maybe you're here to make mom happy. Maybe you're here and you came in really just, you kind of drug yourself in here tonight because things are tough. Know tonight that God is with you. And that you can have joy regardless of your circumstances. Biblical joy, again, it's not the denial of the pain. It's not sitting there hunkered down just pretending that you're not going through a struggle. Instead, it's anchored in the fullness of who God is. And so we can choose joy tonight in this Christmas season, on this Christmas Eve, when we trust God before, even before when our circumstances are resolved. And so I would invite you this evening to once again, you know, maybe you have put your trust in the Lord already. But today, in this season, I would invite you to renew that faith in him, to trust him, to know that he is at work, to know that he sees you, and that he came to earth for you and for me. We can have a tendency to glamorize Christmas. Even in the church, we can do that. But the real Christmas isn't sanitized. It's sacred, actually, because it's messy. And I think, I don't know, for me, and I hope for you, that's an encouragement to me. Because I don't know about you, but life can really get messy at times, can it? And it was no different here. We see God bring about the greatest thing the earth has ever seen, of his son stepping in to our history, to mankind, in the most messy and less than optimal situation we could imagine. So I want to share with you, I can't take credit for this. I am going to be completely transparent and honest because, one, I'm a pastor. I know that's hard to come by these days in certain places, but I am that way, and it's Christmas. And so I did get a little help on this next part from AI. I know it's really scary, but I just said this, I'm just letting you know in advance. So I said, what would a new version of Away in the Manger look like, written in kind of more the realist or the reality of what was going on, right? Are you with me? You're not going to throw anything at me? We're good? Just for fun. I'm not going to sing it, though. I'm just going to read the lyrics because I don't think anybody wants that. So this is Away in a Manger, a realistic rewriting, okay? Shall we jaunt together through the... Yes, it'll be fun. So listen. Away in a manger, no shelter, no room. No cradle, no comfort, no quieted womb. The night was not silent, the labor was long. Hope entered the world where it did not belong. Pretty good so far, huh? Okay, yep. Let's keep going. There's a couple more. The stars did not warm them, the straw did not stay. The cries of a newborn cut through fear and decay. No angels to Mary in pain on the floor. No faith in a promise, just faith in a promise she could not ignore. Joseph stood watch with a heart worn and tight, protecting his family through danger and night. The future uncertain, the road unclear, obedience chosen instead of his fear. No halo, no hush fell on the earth that night. Just God clothed in weakness, no power, no might. The Savior of the world first learned how to cry as heaven held breath while hope learned to sigh. Maybe there's hope for AI after all, right? But I think that was pretty well done. And I think it was really helpful for us to be reminded that it was not the perfect scene, but it was the perfect gift. It was the perfect child. Amen. You see, before there was a song in the sky, there was fear in a heart. Before there was joy in the world, to the world, there was danger in the night. Before there was celebration, there was costly obedience. And so I think the invitation for all of us tonight is this Christmas, may we not just sing the carols. Instead, let us immerse ourselves in the true story behind them. In response, may we offer our fears, troubles, and our unfinished joy to the same God who entered Joseph and Mary's mess. For he is willing and eager to enter ours. Amen. Merry Christmas. And I think this is probably the greatest message that we could hear.